Stand by. What you hear in the next half hour could have a profound impact on your life.
Okay, welcome to the show, everybody. And it's Terry Somerville here. And I've got, once again, special guest here in the studio, Jane Ferris from Kitchener, Ontario. Welcome.
Hey, everybody.
And, you know, it's good to have you back. You've been in the area for a few days and over at the Healing Rooms.
Yes.
Seeing some good things. Your daughter here with you and welcome as well. And she's got a testimony. I don't know if you'll get the chance to share it here, but coming back to the Lord, and that's great. Some healings going on, some prophetic stuff going on. Why don't you tell us what you've been doing, Jane?
Hey, it's always great to be back in Campbell River. And we've traveled across Canada. We left April 2nd, and we've been calling the prodigals home. My daughter sharing her testimony of coming out of dealing drugs, and now she's dealing hope.
I didn't get her name. Sorry.
Her name is Sherry.
Oh, Sherry. Okay. Sherry is sharing. Okay.
Sherry is sharing her testimony. And it's an amazing testimony of her coming out of that darkness, you know, after suffering abuse and, you know, growing up in the church, loving God, but experiencing some really dark things and nobody knowing what was happening. And that sent her into darkness, but God never let go of her.
Hey, Sherry, just step around here. Get up to the mic. Pull your chair around,
too.
Come on over,
girl.
We'll get you on there with your mom. And we're trying to fit it all in here.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And
It's truly a message of hope.
When did you, you just came back from the Lord, but, you know, you were saying earlier about it just been just, you know, like the drug street lifestyle, the whole thing. And what happened?
Well, pretty much I fell into a lot of darkness and was really hurting. And so I used to use drugs and alcohol to numb out my pain. The more I disobeyed God and the farther I got from Him, the darker my life got and the more chaotic it became. And a year ago, almost exactly, my mom sent me to a conference where I rededicated my heart to the Lord. And I went home and I got rid of all the drugs that I had. And I reached out to a treatment center called Windsor Life Center. And
it's like Windsor, Ontario.
Yeah. It's a faith-based program. And there God started to transform my life. And I had a lot of anger and unforgiveness towards people that had hurt me. And that's where I realized for me to be forgiven for the things that I did, I needed to forgive those that hurt me. And so that's when I really began a journey of forgiving the people that had really hurt me and giving my anger to God and asking God to forgive me for the things that I did. And that's when God began to heal me from the addiction. And I didn't feel like I needed to numb out anymore. And for the first time in 12 years, I began sober living. And so now I've been clean for 8 months. And God's just done such an amazing thing and restored my relationship with my mom, restored my relationship with my family, and just set me free from the gang life. And it's been amazing.
And you're also sharing, you're just at the Healing Rooms and experienced some healing as well.
Yeah, honestly, like I experienced a severe brain injury when I was 12. And so my neck wasn't really aligned right. And they prayed for me. And I just felt God starting to heal my neck. And it was so cool. And they prayed for my ankle where I have rods and pins and plates. And ever since they prayed for me, it's been popping back into place. So we were in the car and we could hear these popping. And so that all just happened a few minutes ago at the Healing Room.
Yeah, the pop, you know, the people, bones popping and crunching as God starts to heal. We've witnessed that before, and it's quite amazing.
Yes.
You know, and could you hear it? Could everybody else hear it?
Oh, yeah. I could hear it in the car.
Oh, my goodness. That's wonderful.
I could hear her smile, actually. Her smile was so big from the popping and just experiencing the power of God in her body.
You know, one of the things, you know, back when we had our Foursquare Church here and I was a pastor and it's still here, but we had a revival in the 90s. A lot of people don't know this. We had an incredible, powerful outpouring of the Spirit of God revival. So many prodigals and so many addicts and such getting saved or healed or coming back to the Lord. But one of the things, and I'll ask you about this, is for those that were prodigal, even though they're back in their drugs or in alcohol or the lifestyle, there's still a background conversation going on with God.
Yeah. I knew that he never left me, that he would never forsake me. And so even in the darkest times, like, I knew that God intervened at times to protect me and to call out to me when I was hopeless. And honestly, many times I tried to take my own life. And in those times of quite despair and just not wanting to live anymore, God gave me hope and God sent somebody to rescue me. And the doctors were baffled many times and they didn't know how I survived, but God, I knew it was God. And each of those times I would cry out to God in my pain and he would answer me, and he never left me alone. And I always felt like I needed to go back home and I needed to return to my father's house, but I had fear of being rejected. I had fear of all the sins I had committed, and I didn't know how I could be forgiven because I wasn't willing to forgive other people. But just the forgiveness that God helped me feel and restore me back to my health and to my right frame of mind was just absolutely amazing and so powerful. And it was all through his unconditional love.
You know, I'm thinking, too, of you know, somebody might be listening right now. We never know who's listening. I'm surprised sometimes people come and talk to me. But maybe somebody's listening right now, and you're a prodigal, and you're immersed in something in your life that you feel keeps you in complete bondage, and that you can't move forward. You know, I've got to say to you, and you're hearing the testimony from Sherry right now, that not only does God love, but he will set free when we come back to us. Amen. And we come back to him.
Yeah.
When we come back to him, he's more than willing to set people free.
Yes.
But what we've done is we've turned to the way the world thinks, to trying to cope and deal with stuff. We've turned to the way that our emotions in our fallen physical body think and operate, and we're trying to cope, we're trying to medicate, we're trying to do whatever we can do to deal with what we feel and what we're going through. And yet God, Jesus, is the deliverer. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never
Amen.
Changes.
Amen.
And you know what? Turn to him. Cry out to him. That's the word, all I can say. And when we do cry out with all of our heart,
yes.
that's when faith touches down and power comes on, and things can get changed. But it's got to be a point where you're, well, you know, they call it hitting bottom too,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
Well, hitting bottom is going, I give up on all the other means I've got.
Yeah.
I've got Jesus or I got nothing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and wow. Praise God. Well, that's sure good to hear that, Sherry.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, praise the Lord.
God is good.
And you know what? If somebody out there is in the same place that Sherry has been, I'd be glad to pray with you. Or go to healing rooms. They'll pray with you. Or go to a church. Something. Reach out. Reach out.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Gene, and what's been happening to you? Because you've been out. Here you are again, ministering, preaching, prophecy. As a lot of your ministry is mm-hmm. prophetic. What's happening?
Oh, God has been so great. And, you know, just if I can just speak to the mothers of prodigals,
yeah.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up. A promise is a promise is a promise. And God made a promise to you for household salvation. So keep believing that the prayers you're praying for your prodigals are going to come to pass, because they surely do.
Yeah.
And one of the things God encouraged me to release to the body is Isaiah 55,
yeah.
where it says, you know, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, so shall be my word that goes forth. It will not return to me void, but it will prosper where I sent it. And he said, tell my body that each of them is a word from heaven, that they're an actual word that they can say and speak my love like no one else can, because they're unique and individual. And
yeah,
what I've
yeah.
done in their lives is an actual message from heaven that I placed in them when I was forming them in their mother's womb and planning
Amen.
Their destiny.
Yeah.
And when they release that word, you know, until that word is released from them, they can't go back up. It has to prosper in the earth. So every
yeah,
one
yeah.
of us has a message. And, you know, sometimes we get dreams and ideas. So I'm encouraging the body and believers to just keep believing.
Yeah.
Keep believing. And there's a dream in you that needs to come to pass, that God's spoken to you. And so why are we waiting to do something that God's told us to do? What are we waiting for? And so I've seen God do some great things. I've met people who were encouraged by the Lord to just do something small. I was in Austin, Texas, and met this family who were making hot dogs at the train station. They just go with their barbecue. They buy several packages of hot dogs and buns, and they just go to the train station, and they feed the homeless people. They feed people getting off the train. And they don't have tracks. They just have the love of God, and they're just sharing the love of God. And then people will say, why are you doing this?
Yeah.
And they'll say, well, because God loves you.
It's kind of like a what's in front of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Wow. You know, what is it with Isaiah 53, 54, and 55? You got anything prophetic on that? Because Isaiah 54, I'll start to pray some nights, and all of a sudden God's putting Isaiah 54 in my mind. I
thought, yeah.
What? You know, and I'm going back to that in Isaiah 55, and I think, what is this? You know, Isaiah 53, of course, covers, you know, the sacrifice of Christ. And he bore our transgression, our sin, our sickness, our disease. But then it's like in Isaiah 54, he's really speaking to those that are redeemed and saved out of that. You know, you children of the desolate one, says Isaiah 54, will be more than the children of the one that's married, says the Lord. So enlarge your place of your tent, let back the curtains of your habitation stretch out. Later on it says, fear not, you'll not be ashamed, you won't be confounded, you will not be put to shame. And on it goes. It's using that illustration of the Lord being your husband, while we are the bride of Christ, right? Here's the grace. He says, this is like the days of Noah to me when I swore that the water would no more go over the earth, and I swear I will not be angry with you or rebuke you, for the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, but my covenant of peace shall not be removed from you. Of course, that's the new covenant in Christ.
Amen.
And so it says, O afflicted one, storm-tossed, not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in antimony. It's like talking like a city, the city of God.
Yes.
And lay your foundation. You know, maybe you're thinking out there, you know, I'm a storm-tossed, unloved one, but here's God's promise, Old Testament and New. Wow. And it goes in Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. Mm-hmm. You have no money? Well, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why are you spending your money in that which is not bread and your labor in that which does not satisfy? But you can hearken or listen diligently to me, eat what is good, and delight yourself in fatness, and incline your ear to me, come to me, and hear that your soul may live. I mean, that, talk about for prodigals.
Yes.
Talk about for anybody, but for prodigals. Come back, you know. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and draw near to the Lord. And in that, wow.
Yeah,
to me,
powerful.
There's something about going on with that word. Today, I speak it over Campbell River, and there it is. You know, you're pulling it out too.
Yeah, it's powerful. And if you go back to verse 17, Isaiah 54:17 says that no weapon formed against you
will
prosper. And any tongue that rises against you in judgment will be shown down to be wrong. But no weapon formed against you. And you know the most common weapon that I think is restricting the body of Christ and that I minister on the most is that rejection.
Yeah.
And, you know, the enemy knows he's not omnipresent. He can't be everywhere at one time, but his weapon is a generational weapon that comes down from generation to generation of rejection. And lo and behold, you know, rejection moves in stages and you get to the stage of self-rejection.
Yeah.
And when you reject yourself, hey, you're not just rejecting your body when you look in the mirror and the image that you see, you're rejecting your spirit.
Yeah.
And when we reject that spirit within us, that's the place God placed our gifts, our talents. That's where the dreams are. That's where the calling is. This big trick of the enemy sowing this, you know, rejection lie, there's so many believers with amazing talents, gifts, and abilities, but they're afraid to move. And God said, you know, your gift will bring you before great men. But you know what? Your gift doesn't move if you don't move.
Yeah.
So you have to move your gift But we can't move our gift if rejection has paralyzed us. And so I'm praying and believing for the body of Christ here in Campbell River and everywhere I go for that spirit of rejection to be removed, for there to be healing, for people, you know, to say, God, forgive me for rejecting my own spirit, for rejecting my dreams, and for thinking I'm not worthy to be loved by you and used by you. We all need to do the thing that God put on our heart to do, even if it's a little thing. We can change the world, you know, one person at a time with, you know, just treating them the way that God wants them treated. And and that's the power of that. But no weapon that the enemy can come up with can stop what God wants to do in a person's life. It can't prosper against them. That means the enemy can't bring about his desired end.
Wow.
And if only we would believe that.
You know what? We're right out of time here, but we're going to pick it up and do a little more.
Awesome.
For tomorrow. Is that okay?
Sounds great.
Okay, then. So I've got Jane Ferris and
Sherry.
Sherry, her daughter, here, and we'll be back tomorrow picking up the conversation that we are in the middle of right now.